disrespect to Azadari and to the occasion of Muharram, then it is not permissible.
I see. Sheikh Shawbit, what's the Islamic law about carrying, about fasting on the 9th or 10th of Muharram?
Yeah.
I mean, Taswa and Ashura.
Fasting is quite permissible on the 9th day of Muharram. And when it comes to fasting on the 10th day of Muharram, of course, fasting is permissible, but it is good. Mm-hmm. It is better to break one's fast after midday by eating something, by drinking something. So fasting is not haram. If a person wants to fast, it's okay. Mm-hmm. There's no problem in it. And you know, Shia Muslims living in and predominantly Sunni populated countries are under the impression that, okay, maybe fasting is recommended. Because according to Ahl-Sunnah, fasting on this is recommended, is highly recommended.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case with Shia Muslims. They believe that, okay, it's better not to fast on the day of Ashura. It's better to eat something.
Is it reprehensible to fast on the day
of
Ashura?
It is, yes.
What about Taswa?
Taswa, there's no objection in fasting.
Mm-hmm, I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Shawbit.
Sure.
And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. From me and the rest of the crew, say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new lands.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Muhammad is my guide, Muhammad is my teacher, Muhammad my beloved Rasulullah.
I want to be like you.
Like you.
In everything I do, Ya Rasulullah.
I want to walk like you, talk like you, read my Quran just like you. Rasulullah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to our program, Like Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where we delve into the teachings and exemplary life of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his purified family. Today, we're going to embark on a special journey to explore the profound love that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his purified family, demonstrated the elevated status of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam through his actions and also his words. He instructed the Muslims to follow and respect this particular family. During the time when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was as young as 7 years, he lived alongside the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam displayed great reverence for Imam Hussein alayhi salam and emphasized his noble character among the companions. And why should he not have done that? Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam, when he was as young as 7 years old, he lived the high status of his grandfather Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and would keenly listen to his teachings, and then later on in his life we see how he reflected all of them. The narrations of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam elucidate the unique status of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. One such hadith is the statement, Hussein minni wa ana min al Hussein. Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. This hadith highlights the close connection and significance between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his grandson Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Indeed, through his words and actions, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed to the Muslims immense and unparalleled honor for the Imams. This was done so that in the times when falsehood and confusion prevailed among the Muslim community, they would completely rely on the teachings and guidance of the Imams. By holding on to the strong rope of God and following the illuminating path of guidance, they would be protected from the storms of hypocrisy and misguidance. However, it's so sad, and it's so regrettable that despite hearing these words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not deeply resonate within the hearts and souls of the people. The illuminating hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about his grandsons were completely forgotten. They really did not resonate within the hearts and the souls of the people. And consequently, what we saw Imam Hussein alayhi salam was tragically martyred in the plains of Karbala, where he faced immense oppression and brutality. This tragic event unfolded before the eyes of thousands of individuals who apparently were identified as Muslims. Use this time to refresh your mind and prepare for the continuation of our enlightening conversation.
Ya Nabi salam alayka, Ya Rasul salam alayka, Ya Habib salam alayka, salawatullah alayka. Ya Nabi salam alayka, Ya Rasul
الرسول سلام عليك يا حبيب سلام عليك صلوات الله عليك.
Welcome back, dear listeners. I hope you had a regenerating break. Welcome back, dear listeners. Let us now resume our exploration of the profound love that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam bestowed upon Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam the title of the two leaders of the paradise. The hadith of Prophet signifies the elevated status of the two Imams in both this world and also the hereafter. The Prophet's statements served as a valuable lesson for Muslims, emphasizing the importance of honoring and respecting the esteemed positions of these two Imams in the eyes of Allah Almighty. While talking about his bond with his beloved grandson, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a special bond with Imam Hussein al-Islam from the very beginning. He would often carry Imam Hussein al-Islam in his arms, on his shoulders, showering him with love and affection. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in Imam Hussein al-Islam those qualities of bravery, wisdom, righteousness that would make him a great leader in the future. And that's how he would say that. That's how he would introduce him to the companions. And also as Imam Hussein alayhi salam grew older, he became a devoted follower of his grandfather's teachings. He learned from the Prophet's actions and words and embodied the principles of justice, compassion, and selflessness that the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his purified family preached. One of the most significant events that showcased a deep connection between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was the Battle of Uhud. What happens in this battle is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced the immense challenges, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who is at a very young age, stood by his side, defending him with unwavering courage. This act of loyalty and bravery left a lasting impression on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart. The love and respect between the two were on both sides. It was not just Prophet loved him, or the Imam Hussein alayhi salam loved Prophet Muhammad. Hussein alayhi salam held his grandfather in the highest regard and would often seek his guidance and advice. And also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in turn would shower Imam Hussein alayhi salam with affection, wisdom, nurturing him to become a beacon of light for future generations. In a hadith, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Verily, Hussein alayhi salam is the shining light of guidance and the ark of salvation." This hadith emphasizes the significance of Imam Hussein alayhi salam's role in guiding the ummah and leading them towards salvation. The bond between the two was again not limited to family ties. It extended to a shared mission and purpose. Yes, Imam Hussein alayhi salam understood completely the importance of upholding religion and standing against oppression, just exactly as his grandfather Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had done throughout his life. This shared mission became evident during the tragic events of Karbala. Hussein alayhi salam, along with his family and companions, faced a brutal and unjust army. Despite being outnumbered, Imam Hussein alayhi salam refused to compromise his principles and remained firm on his religious beliefs. We must strive to embody the qualities of courage and righteousness and unwavering commitment to justice that Imam Hussein alayhi salam exemplified. And with that, dear listeners, we have come to an end of our session. Thank you so much for listening. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Be like Muhammad, live like Muhammad, see like Muhammad did. Be like Muhammad and live like Muhammad and give like Muhammad gave. Shafi'ullah, Habibullah, Nabiullah, Rasulullah, Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, ya Rasulullah,
Defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
This is what it looks like typically, a peaceful march of the masses, and a lot of youngsters joining in the beat. Actually, it is to mourn the beloved grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. He was a 7th century revolutionary leader who made the ultimate sacrifice for social justice against the tyrant ruler of the time, Yazid. Some things never get old, such as sorrow and inspiration, the struggle for basic rights and dignity, and aspiring for betterment. Each year, this country is shrouded in black to mourn the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his companions while honoring the Battle of Karbala. For a closer look at what this event inspires today, please join us on this edition of Iran Today. The Battle of Karbala is one of the most significant events in Islamic history. Imam Hussein's refusal to accept the tyrant Yazid's allegiance triggered the Battle of Karbala on the day of Ashura. On this day in the year 680 AD or 61 Hijra, Imam Hussein, along with his family members and companions, were martyred on the plains of Karbala, and this marks a turning point for Islamic Ummah. The resistance movement that ensued came to be known as Imam Hussein's Revolution.
Resistance is in fact a ramification of Ashura. When you come to realize with regard to the Muslim world that the enemies of Islam, enemies of people, enemies of this geographical zone have mobilized their forces for maximum dominance, be it cultural, economic or geopolitical, upon regional nations, the common political logic, be it liberalism or nationalism, failed to find an answer. Even the most leading anti-hegemony movement, for example Marxism, which itself grew into a new force of dominance, failed to overpower capitalism and imperialism.
Imam Hussein was beheaded, as were his 72 companions slain and many others who were taken as captive. Among those killed was Imam's 6-month-old baby boy and some other children. The presence of infants and children in the camp bears the question whether the resistance was pre-planned or consequential. But it happened. The blood of pure souls was shed. And over a millennium and a half later, mourning Ashura will be commemorated. But why do people hold the Tasua Ashura ceremony each year? What current events over time have kept the flame alive?
One instance is the martyrdom of Haj Qasim Soleimani, which created a huge movement in Iran and the countries in the region as a great commander like Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis was martyred alongside him. The two great figures fought against the enemies together. Remember, after the assassination of Qasim Soleimani, people from all walks of life, tendencies, appearances, even those who didn't adhere to religious laws, came out to protest. It's exactly what we're witnessing in Lebanon, where many of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah's followers are Christians who practice their own religion, but their political thought follows the idea of resistance.
Muslims, especially Shias, view the tragedy of Karbala as the ultimate sacrifice and the triumph of truth over falsehood. Each year, during the first 10 days of the month of Muharram, Muslims all over the world mourn the sacrifices made by Imam Hussein and his companions. More than 1,340 years after Imam Hussein's martyrdom, Baghdad, Tehran, Islamabad, and other major cities in the world are adorned every year during Muharram with symbols of piety and repentance. Red flags for Imam's blood, symbolic black funeral tents, and black dress for mourning. Processions of men and boys expressing fervor in the ritual of chest beating and self-flagellation with chains.
Imam Hussein said that I'm not afraid of Yazid and death. I have one goal, and that is to save the religion of Prophet Muhammad. The religion brought by Prophet Muhammad was slowly being destroyed and corrupted after 50 years by Yazid. There is no insurance that an uprising and revolution will survive to bear fruits. But as you see today, the efforts of the Prophet Muhammad have paid off. And that's why today's Muslims worship God, and no Muslim says that, for example, Prophet Muhammad is the son of God, like Christians or Jews. We don't have such things in Islam. The reason is that the blood of Imam Hussein ensured the religion of Prophet Muhammad.
Only in the holy city of Karbala, where Imam Hussein was laid to rest, some 22 million Muslim Shias gathered to pay homage in the 10-day mourning ceremony, ending with Tasu'a and Ashura, which represent the 9th and 10th day of the ceremony, respectively, and also on Arba'in, which is the 40-day anniversary of Ashura. Those who can make it commemorate the triumph of blood over sword in their local setting. The Iranian nation, among 200 million Muslims worldwide, are black-clad at large during the month of Muharram, especially the first 10 days. And also on Arba'in, the 40th commemorative day that falls into the following month of Safar, the largest annual pilgrimage in the world happens, as millions of people go to the city of Karbala in Iraq. Muharram is among Islamic months labeled the haram or forbidden months, when war is prohibited. In other words, Husseini resistance is meant to be peaceful. Interestingly, and contrary to what's been portrayed in mainstream Western media, the Islamic resistance appears to have been more successful, perhaps even the only successful movement against the U.S. hegemony and Zionist regime tyranny, apparently because of its enduring peaceful nature.
Imam Hussein's conduct in the face of enemy troops carries a social lesson. When the enemy troops were approaching, Imam Hussein did not cease to worry about their concerns, including physical health, like possible thirst. Therefore, Imam Hussein immediately ordered commanders and water distributors to supply waters to enemy troops. When we see such conducts, we can't remain indifferent towards fellow humans.
Holy Quran has stated, "You are the best people who have evolved for mankind, enjoying what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah." Imam Hussein sacrificed everything in the way of safeguarding this institution and enforcing it. The Imam gave a more sober meaning to death in this cause. It has become to imply grandeur and honor. Since he set out on his journey from Medina to Karbala, he was always talking about death in dignity and honor. That is the death in the cause of right, truth, and justice. It has been said by his followers that such a death is akin to a beautiful necklace that adorns the neck of a young woman.
Imam Hussein was not looking for immediate results of his movement. See, when Imam Khomeini was arrested in 1963, the Savak officer in charge said to Imam Khomeini, "You poor clergy who has nothing but the clothes you're wearing, what hope and with which army and help do you want to stand against a 2,500-year-old monarchy?" In response, Imam Khomeini said, "My companions are now in their cradles." See, this view is very high. Imam Hussein has found his followers in the heart of the history, and his followers are increasing every day. The army of 20 million people who go to visit Imam Hussein in Arbaeen, these are who go to Karbala to visit Imam Hussein's grave in Arbaeen, these are the companions of Imam Hussein. The man who had only 18 companions when he left Medina for Mecca on the first day of his uprising.
Congregations of believers on Ashura Day is a way of enlivening these religious beliefs among youngsters, as the most popular cantors trigger their energy and thoughts. The Imam often recited a line of poetry en route in his fateful journey to Karbala. The poem read something like this: "Despite the fact that this life is sweet and beautiful, yet the next life is sweeter and more beautiful. Since in the end man will leave behind after death all the worldly possessions, the good comes out of giving away one's wealth in good causes instead of hoarding it. By the same token, since the human body would turn to dust after death, why should not man die a sweet and honorable death? Thus, dying with a sword in the cause of God is much greater and lovelier." We mentioned how Ashura was a mobilizing force to the axis of resistance, in turn mobilizing the region in facing the U.S. and Zionist regime and recently Wahhabi and Takfiri sects. You recall General Soleimani, who was assassinated by the U.S. in January 2020. He was instrumental in defeating Daesh or ISIS in Syria and Iraq by moving forces he likened to Imam Hussein and his small army of friends and family. In fact, Commander Soleimani often referred to Iranians as the nation of Imam Hussein and expected them to plant the seeds of sacrifice, sacrifice in resisting oppressors and seeking justice everywhere. We asked what similarities could be found between the Islamic resistance of today and the event of Ashura. The history of Islam is 1400 years old and more. Now you get to see the discrepancies even in the political accounts of the day. But all the sects of the Islamic Ummah agree on the ill done to the descendants of the Prophet of Islam and the suffering of Imam Hussein and his companions. How we apply the lesson in today's world, though, matters much. Iran's method is the resistance against foreign forces in the region and their strongholds, especially the one slowly wiping the holy shrines and Palestine off the map, Israel. Today, resistance on another front is also of paramount importance. Iran's national interests define how far it will persist with the course of the JCPOA negotiations. Iran will never return to its commitments unless the U.S. and its European allies fully implement their obligations under the deal.
There are many free thinkers in the world like Gandhi who had no religious affiliation with Islam but sanctified Imam Hussein and honored him as their leader. This is true in Muslim countries, both among Shiites and Sunnis. Imam Hussein is influential and inspiring as a descendant of Prophet Muhammad and a great martyr. This has been the case for years, and we believe it will continue to be so in the future and will make more important impacts in human civilization.
Iran's support for Palestinian groups has been a key feature in spearheading pro-resistance and pan-Islamic solidarity. Groups such as Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the Secular Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. Iran's support for and by the Axis stems from its revolutionary ideology of wanting to be a cause, not just a country.
امام حسین ما اسطوره‌ای که در موزه تاریخ باشد نیست. امام حسین ما یه امام زنده است.
Our Imam Hussein is not a myth that belongs in historical museums. Our Imam Hussein is a living Imam, which means that right now, these people who are mourning in the streets, we who are wearing black clothes, are not looking to get a memorial for Imam Hussein. We intend to announce what is the duty of the Muslim nations today and how they should continue the path of Imam Hussein. And this movement continues until oppression, tyranny, and oppressive governments are destroyed, and the religion of Islam rules all over the world, and peace and justice are established.
For and since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, Iran's leaders have legitimized acts of resistance and uprising if recognized to be anti-oppression. While the 8-year war waged on Iran is an unquestionable example. In drawing on the Ashura narrative of the victims, voiceless but standing, perhaps hoping for time to set the record straight, this country interestingly did this. When Iran accepted UN Resolution 598 for the ceasefire with Iraq, its substantial demand was not war reparations, but to be recognized as the victim of invasion. And that it finally achieved.
After a nation rises up, if it persists and values its uprising and believes in it, the uprising turns to resistance. If the resistance continues, it will change to endurance and become long-lasting. In our opinion, the Iranian people's uprising turned into resistance, then took the form of endurance, and now has been internalized to the point where they exercise perseverance in the face of all the hardships and sanctions and choose their uprising over giving up. Between resistance and surrender, they choose the former.
I would say that those who were today fighting Daesh have done much more sacrifice than what we did. Those who are fighting Daesh in Syria have much stronger faith than our generation. We really envy them and we feel that we are distant from them.
Another example is resistance against Israel's invasion of Lebanon in 1982. And in case you're wondering how it all started, revolutionary Shiism emerged in the 1960s consistent with global anti-colonial movements. It centered on resistance against oppression with a look to Muslim fighters and martyrdom and by drawing on the Karbala metaphor. To Iran as a state, the tale is more than a script for passion plays or even history books. The post-revolution constitution commands support for the oppressed and Muslims of the world and is claimed to have been inspired by the ordeal of Imam Hussein and companions. How bravely Imam Hussein fought would not matter if his intention were to definitely score a win. He was surrounded by an army many times larger than his that attacked from all sides with swords, spears, and arrows. And eventually Shamr ruthlessly beheaded him, thirsty and heavily wounded. But fear not, for words carry far and long, and that's all a legacy needs to be relayed and learned from. Here's where Zainab, peace be upon her, the first narrator of the occasion, came in.
After Imam Hussein and his companions are martyred in the scene of Ashura, their enemies take Hazrat Zainab as a captive and chain her, taking the captives from city to city in the worst possible way until they reach the Levant. They cheer to humiliate the family of Imam Hussein, but the exact opposite of what they wanted happened. Because Hazrat Zainab was an orator so skillful that people said it was as if Imam Ali was speaking when he delivered a speech. While giving a speech in Yazid's court, she commanded everyone to silence, and all the participants in the majestic court of Yazid immediately became silent to listen to her sermons. Her speech made Yazid's family, who was sitting behind a veil, cry and oppose him. Her sermons were so powerful that his rule didn't last long after.
The merging of the Islamic Revolution and the resistance movement with the ideals of the Ashura Uprising can be seen in Chapter 10 on Foreign Policy of Article 152 of the Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which bases the country's foreign policy on the rejection of any kind of dominance, the preservation of the all-inclusive independence of the country, the defense of the rights of all Muslims, and non-alignment in relation to the domineering powers.
We have witnessed many uprisings throughout history calling for justice and an end to corruption. How is Imam Hussein's movement any different from those? What are its distinguishing and inspiring characteristics?
قیام‌های دیگران یک اهداف بسیار کوتاه‌مدتی داشته.
Other uprisings of the world compared to the uprising of Imam Hussein are very limited and have short-term goals. For example, Gandhi sought to save India from Western colonialism, and he was somehow successful. The Great French Revolution is another example, and other uprisings followed the suit. But Imam Hussein pursued goals that were not bound to time and place. Some think that Imam Hussein wanted to form a small government to resist Yazid's government, and that's it. While in the final hours of Ashura Day, he kinda portrayed the final peak of his movement for his son, and he said, "I swear by God, my blood will not calm down until the emergence of Muhammad ibn al-Hassan al-Mahdi, that is the 12th Imam of Shias."
The Islamic Revolution started from religious mourning gatherings. These gatherings have been special as they recount the truths about Ashura and underline the importance of fighting against evil, although with a few fighters. This is significant as people are shown how to follow the truth in the way Imam Hussein and his companions did.
We said the Islamic resistance had been successful. Since 1979, revolutionary Islam has linked Tehran with a network of groups in the region. These include Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Hashd al-Shaabi in Iraq, the Shia militias in Syria, and the Houthis in Yemen, just to mention a few. And it's not just a matter of fighting power, but more importantly, winning the hearts and minds of regional Islamic Ummah.
What is the major impact of Imam Hussein's movement on the recent resistance movements?
All the movements of Palestinians, the people of Gaza, and the leaders of resistance are derived from the teachings of Imam Hussein. How was Haj Qasim able to create an alliance between the resistance movements? What was Haj Qasim's role model? In his talks, we have heard many times that he says that we are the nation of Imam Hussein, which means we are the nation of resistance.
Basically, any uprising that arises to fight against oppression becomes permanent, and truth-seeking and righteous people will follow it. The uprising of Ashura is a complete tragedy due to its unique historical characteristics. It's an event in which women and children were involved from its creation until it ended in conveying the message of resistance and perseverance.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Please do tune in same time next week and each week after. Don't forget to leave your comments and topic requests. Till next time, take care.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The holy prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از
self purification is the most significant factor.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Mir Bagheri. Stay tuned.
یا در روایت ملاحظه فرمودید فرمود که حرام علی قلوبکم.
Allah in different narrations refers to the concept of servitude to him. In one such narration Allah states, if a believer wants to reach proximity to me, that is Allah, he or she must be deprived from the temptations of this world. And when the soul is empty of the temptations, then Allah will be closer. In other words, if a person does not separate from the carnal desires of this world, he cannot taste the beauty of spirituality.
ملاحظه فرمودید امیر المومنین علیه السلام فرمودند که مردم سه دستند راغب و صابر و زاهد.
Imam Ali alayhi salam in a beautiful hadith states, people are of three kinds, raqib, sabir, and zahid. Raqib, which means eager, is a person who loves this dunya and does not pay attention to halal and haram. Sabir refers to a person who still loves dunya, but he acts patiently in facing the dunya and is not deceived by it. In other words, he wants the dunya, but he controls his desires. However, Zahid or the Godfearer refers to those who are indifferent to the dunya. If he is given the mundane benefits, he will not be happy. And if he misses the benefits of this world, he will not be sad. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRive English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Mir Bagheri. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, has said, "Whenever I remember the martyrdom of the children of Fatima, peace be upon her, my eyes filled with tears."
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program, The Last Savior. I'm your host, Zainab. Well, in this program, we are discussing the connection between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Mahdi Ajullah Ta'ala Faraja. And to delve deep into the topic, we have with us Dr. Murtaza Karimi in the studio. And Dr. Karim, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Well, you have, through the light of Quran and the narrations, shown us at least one of the connections between Imam Hussein and Imam Zamana Jallah Ta'ala Faraja, that Imam Mahdi Jallah Ta'ala Faraja, who is considered by many Sunni scholars or many people around to be from Zamana the lineage, but you proved for us that he belongs to the lineage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, what are the furthermore connections between the two noble Imams?
We have received some narrations from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in which Imam Hussein alayhi salam introduces and talks about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So some of the titles of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam are mentioned by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. For example, people ask Imam Hussein alayhi salam, "Are you sahib hadha al-amr?" Now, sahib hadha al-amr, meaning the owner of this affair, is one of the titles of Al-Qa'im, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So the people wanted to know if the third Imam is the promised Mahdi or not. Imam said, "La, no. Walakin sahib al-amr, the owner of this affair, that is the promised Mahdi." And then Imam refers to some of the titles of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He says, "At-tarid al-sharid al-mawtur bi-abi." At-tarid al-sharid, both of them are referring to a person who is away from the people. So it may refer to the occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, because he's absent from the people. I mean, people do not recognize him, although he may live among the people, or may refer to the fact that people do not pay attention to him. And this is one of the reasons that Imam went into the occultation. So At-Tarid al-Sharid are two titles of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, as mentioned by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Then he says, Al-Mawtur bi-Abi. Al-Mawtur bi-Abi means a person whose father has been killed, but he is not taken revenge of. I mean, his blood is not revenge for. So this is one of the titles of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, as mentioned by Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Allama Majlisi, commenting on this narration, says that Al-Mawtur bi-Abi, as I mentioned, is referring to the person whose father is killed, but his blood is not revenge.
Okay.
And his father can refer to either Imam Askari alayhi salam, or Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or all the other Imams of the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam.
Right.
Because we know that except for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who is alive, all the other Imams were killed, either by sword or by poison. They were poisoned. So Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, based on this narration, will take revenge for either his father, that is Imam Askari alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or all the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
Now, before we delve deep into the topic, let's take a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Welcome back, the esteemed audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Last Savior. We have Dr. Murtaza Karimi with us in the studio, and we are talking about the connection between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Imam Zaman, ajallahu ta'ala farajah. We are just proving that Imam Mahdi, ajallahu ta'ala farajah, is from the lineage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We discussed the topic through the in the light of Quran, and now we are discussing it in the light of narrations. Yes, Dr. Karim.
So I shared one narration in which Imam Hussein alayhi salam is talking about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. On the other hand, we have some narrations in which Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is introducing and explaining and describing the titles and features of his grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Maybe one of them, one of the best examples for this regard is a well-known ziyara, which is famous as Ziyara Nahiya Muqaddasa. Nahiya Muqaddasa, meaning the holy person, is referring to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, and of course it is a title that was used from the time of Imam Hadi alayhi salam to refer to the Imam of the time. So Ziyara Nahiya Muqaddasa is one of the Ziyara texts for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and this is narrated from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And it is in the form of a tawqi', meaning that in one of his letters to one of his deputies, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam instructed him to visit Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam with this text.
Right.
This is a very famous ziyara, and this is one of the ziyarat that are known as ziyarat mutlaqa, meaning that it can be read and recited in any time, on the day of Ashura or any other day during the year. This ziyara begins with greetings the prophets and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, especially Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his companions, and then Imam Mahdi alayhi salam explains about the features of the Imam and how he loves Imam Hussein alayhi salam, about the uprising of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, what happened in the land of Karbala, and how he was martyred, and some of the afflictions against the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and the mourning of all creatures for Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Right.
So I would like to read some of the phrases from this ziyara in which Imam Mahdi alayhi salam specifically is explaining some of the features of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
All right, so now we will take a dive into how Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is talking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Exactly. Kunta Rabi' al-Aytam. You were literally translating Rabi', the spring for the orphans, meaning orphans used to come to you and refer to you. Wa'izz al-Islam. You were the honor of the
Islam.
Religion of Islam. And then Imam Mahdi alayhi salam says, "Kunta lil-Rasul waladan." You were the son of the Prophet. "Walil Qur'an sanadan," a proof from for the Quran. "Walil ummata adudan," a helper and supporter for the Muslim nation. "Wafi at-ta'ati mujtahidan hafidan lil-'ad." And Imam alayhi salam continues talking about the Imam Hussein alayhi salam acts of worship, "Tawil al-ruku' wa sujood," with long prostration,
right,
and Ruku' zahidan fi dunya, turning away from the
dunya,
worldly pleasures, and so on and so forth. So in this part of the ziyara, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is referring to 10 features of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Later we'll come back to this year, inshallah. The next point is the fact that the title al-Qa'im is one of the special epithets and titles for only Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Right.
And when other narrations ask the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt whether they are Qa'im or not, they say no. The Qa'im is the 12th Imam, the son of Imam Askari alayhi salam.
Right. So there's a lot more to contemplate on this topic. There's a lot more to find the connection. And we'll do that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We are trying to take a deep dive into the connections between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala faraja. Dr. Murtaza Karimi, our honorable guest, is helping us. Yes, Dr. Karimi.
Yeah, as I mentioned, the title of Al-Qa'im is one of the exclusive titles for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. For that, the other Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam explained that they are not the promised Qa'im and the promised Mahdi.
Right.
Now, interestingly, in one narration, Abu Hamza Thumali, the famous companion of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, says that, I asked Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that, Ibn Rasulullah, isn't it the case that all of you, the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, you are Qa'im? Because one of the meanings of Qa'im is a person who is establishes the truth. So why only Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is called Qa'im? And the answer of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is very profound. He says, "Lamma qutila jaddi al-Husayn," when my grandfather Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was martyred, the angels cried. Of course, we know that there are many narrations about the fact that when Imam Husayn alayhi salam was martyred on the 10th of Muharram, the day of Ashura, different creatures mourn for the Imam. Lay people could not understand how, for example, the beasts and the birds mourn for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and maybe only the men of spirituality could understood. But the number of the narration in this regard is so many that no one can reject this idea. And among the narrations are the narrations referring to the fact that the angels also mourned for the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And then the narration continues, these angels witnessing the tragedy of Karbala, they told, addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say that, "O Allah, aren't you going to take revenge? Or are you going to leave those people who killed Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, who is the best of your servants and son of the best of your creatures?" Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to them that, "I swear by my dignity and honor that for sure I will take revenge from them, although after a while." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them or revealed them the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam from the offspring of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Right.
فَسَرَّتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بِذَلِكَ. So witnessing the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam from the generation of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the angels became happy. وَرَأَوْا أَحَدَهُمْ قَائِمًا يُسَلِّي. They saw that one of them is قَائِم. In this narration, it means he is standing and he is, saying his prayer, the state right. of salah. فَقَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ. Then Allah said, addressing the angels, بِهَذَا الْقَائِمْ أَنْتَقِمُ مِنْهُمْ. Through this Qa'im, this man who is standing, who was Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, I will take revenge for the blood of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his companions.
Right.
This is in Dala'il al-Imama, page 239, and also Bahar al-Anwar, volume 45, page 221. We have similar narrations. Another narration is from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He also says that when Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was martyred, the angels asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that why these people are treating Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the son of your prophet, this way, and they are left. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a miraculous way, showed them the
Imam of our time.
Exactly, his image. And he was standing. And then he said that through him, this Qa'im, this man who is standing, I will take revenge from those people who oppressed Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So this is another connection between these two imams, the fact that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will take revenge for the blood of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Let's go back to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam talking about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. The concept of ghaiba of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam or his occultation is mentioned by the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt.